If you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Kings chapter 19. We're in the middle of a sermon series called Listen, How to Hear and Recognize the Voice of God. And today we're going to sort of look at a story in God's Word about Elijah. And the message title today is The Whispers of God. We have studied a little bit about in John chapter 10 where Jesus Christ says, He says, I am the shepherd and the sheep know my voice and I know them. And that's the foundation of what we're building upon is that God is still speaking. He is still speaking to us. He is still speaking to humanity. And sometimes we are trying to invite God into our world, but God has already given us the invitation to be part of His world. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, for the redemption of humanity. And He sent the power of the Holy Spirit, right, to lead us and to guide us. God is still speaking to men today. He is speaking to you and He is speaking to me. And we read a story here in 1 Kings chapter 19. Let me kind of set this up for you this morning because one of my most favorite stories in the Bible. Elijah met up with King Ahab. And while he's talking to the king says, aren't you the troublemaker? Right? How many of you have been called a troublemaker? Right? Put your hands down. I didn't want to know that. All right? There's no troublemakers in Life Church. But he says, aren't you the one that's causing trouble in Israel? And Elijah said, what, me? I'm not a troublemaker. I just hear the voice of God and I speak. However, the king and his wife Jezebel had turned away from God and began to serve and worship the Baals. In other words, brought these idol gods, these pagan gods into Israel. And now Elijah is given this opportunity and God speaks to him and tells him to do something. And while he's talking to the king says, you know what we'll do? We're going to have a showdown. Let's have this great showdown. And this great event happens, this great showdown where 400 prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Asherah, they all meet at Mount Carmel. And they build an altar there. And Elijah is there on one side, and all these prophets in Israel is there on the other side. And there's this great spectacle. Just imagine this mountain, and all these people are standing around, they're watching what's about to happen. And they made sacrifices and put them upon the altar. The prophets of Baal begin to cry out. They begin to cry out for the god Baal to come down and consume the offering. But nothing happened. Morning turns into noon. The noon hour begins to fade away. And Elijah's sitting over there watching this, right? He's probably doing like this. He probably got him a beach chair. Probably getting ready for VBS. He's probably sitting there like this. Yep, go on, boys. Go ahead. Go ahead. And then he stands up and he says, hey, where's your God? Did he take a journey? Is he asleep? What's going on? So he began to taunt them. And then it became Elijah's turn. And it says he took the offering and laid it upon the altar. He dug trenches around the altar. Just imagine how big this was. And he called and says, pour water, vessels of water, not once, not twice, but three times they poured water upon the altar. And then he says he began to pray and cry out to God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, I'm calling down fire from heaven. Come, consume this altar. Consume it. And that's what happened. It says that the power of God showed up and a great fire came down. And not only did it consume the offering, but it licked up all the water. When the people of Israel saw it, they looked and said, truly, this must be the real God. God was speaking in an extravagant, epic way, in a loud, powerful voice. Matter of fact, did a little research not too long ago. Archaeologists who have worked in the area have found where that deep into the earth has been burnt. The rocks have been burnt and scorched. And they say and they believe that the heat and the temperature of what had caused this scorching of the rock and the stone was greater than any nuclear explosion we have upon the earth we've ever seen. God spoke in an epic way. Verse 9, chapter 19, now this is what happens. In verse 1, just let me read you this, because Elijah has just experienced the mighty voice and hand of God. So Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he killed all the prophets with a sword. So after that had happened, Elijah took all the prophets down and just got rid of them. Right? You're not serving God. He said, you're false prophets. And then Jezebel, listen to this now, sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Listen how Elijah responded. Then he was afraid, and he rose and ran for his life. You want to talk about ups and downs in life, right? You want to talk about mountains and valleys. Think about our life for a moment. How many times have we experienced, we've felt and sensed and witnessed the mighty hand of God move in our life? And all of a sudden, some threat comes along, and we find ourselves in another situation. We almost forget what happened. We run for our life. And this is what Elijah did. He had just witnessed and been part of this great event where God showed himself in a mighty way. And all of Israel said, truly, this must be the real God. And then all of a sudden, when he's threatened by one woman, he takes off and he runs. I know how that feels, by the way. Okay? When I'm threatened by my Sicilian wife, I do the same thing. Take off and run. Me and the chickens, we all run. Let's go, let's go. It says he ran for his life. And he finds himself in a cave looking out. And this is where we pick up our story. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. And he said, go and stand on the mount before the Lord. So here Elijah is hiding for his life, living in fear and afraid. The Lord tells him, he says, stand. As he walks out, he's looking out this cave, and listen to what happens. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore through the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, and you remember, he just experienced the power, the might, the miracle of the true and living God. It says, when he had heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Father, I pray today as we look at your word, God, you are still speaking to us. You are still a speaking God. And sometimes, Lord, you speak to us with a mighty loud voice. And other times, God, you just begin to whisper in that low, sweet voice. I pray, Lord, as we look at your word today, that you bring alive your word to our life. Help it us as we just begin to consume the word into us. Let it come back out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think many of us believe that the only way God speaks is in loud voices. Amen. Some of us believe, hey, he's speaking loudly, then I better listen. But I think sometimes God speaks to us in whispers. And something happened here. I noticed that when Elijah pulled the cloak over his face, this was a sign of humility. In other words, he knew that he was, again, in the presence of God. He watched all of these things happen, but God began to speak to him in a whisper. And the first thing he did was pull the cloak over his face because he was standing humble before God. And if you notice throughout this year, there's this theme that sort of runs through the thread and the fabric of the teachings, is that humility before God is what he desires, but pride is not. And many times in our life, we live in pride where we think we've got everything figured out. I don't need to hear God's voice. I've got it all figured out. Even Elijah, who experienced this great miracle of God when God comes to him, begins to whisper to him in the cave. He says he pulled the cloak over his face, a sign of humility. And behold, there came a voice and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And all of a sudden, God begins to have this very personal conversation with Elijah. I think sometimes we tend to put God into some formula or into some box. How many of us have done that before? Don't raise your hand, right? I'll raise my hand for all of us, because I think sometimes we get caught up in the religious traditions of the church And we think that God only speaks in certain ways. He only moves in certain ways. But let me tell you something that's true that I've learned right recently. I'm not God. God is God. And if He decides He wants to do something a certain way, He's going to do something a certain way. If God wants to whisper, my advice to you is to open up your ears and listen with humility. But as I begin to read on down, something very neat begins to happen. God comes and whispers to Elijah. And what He does is He tells him, He says, listen, He says, I'm whispering, and He tells him three things. So in other words, when He whispers to Elijah, He says, what are you doing here? And He tells him three specific things. Let me tell you what they are. He says, I want you to go. He says, you're going to meet three people, and I want you to say this to these three people. All right, so now God has shown up. He's whispered to Elijah, and this is what He says. He says, number one, go to Jehu and tell him he's going to be the king of Israel and anoint him the king. Number two, go to Hazael, anoint him as king over Syria. And the third thing I want you to do, He says, I want you to go to this small farming village, and I want you to introduce yourself to a young man named Elisha. He's going to take your place. What's interesting is I've read this story many times, right? And I think sometimes we stop. We read the story. We say, okay, God was whispering. He's telling Elijah, what are you doing here? Then we stop reading. But I think it's interesting to take notice here that after God whispered to Elijah, He told him to do a specific thing. Go and speak to these people. So from that, I believe that God will use you and God will use me to speak to other people. How do you believe that? Right? Sometimes in our services, you will hear a word of encouragement given. And I believe that at that moment, God begins to whisper to us to speak a word. I also believe sometimes God will whisper to us to tell us to go speak encouragement. Sometimes we look at this as being prophecy. Go prophesy. Go speak encouragement to someone. So God is not shouting at us. He's not yelling at us. He is whispering. Go speak. This has happened in my life many, many, many times. So the question is, does God speak to us so that we can speak to others? Is it? All right, listen, if y'all don't speak up, we're about to get this gun right here. This super soaker. All right, let me just sit this right here. All right, there we go. Everybody see that okay? All right. So your answer was what? Yes, all right. Thank you, Joseph. So many times in life, God has come to me in a whisper and He shared something with me or He wants me to speak to someone else. So here's the question is, how do we know? How do you know? Right? You know, I love asking questions. How do you know when God's whispering to you and what is He going to say and how is He going to say it? I believe there's three questions, because many times as I'm talking to you, many times as I'm just out in the world during the week and I meet someone, I'm always asking these questions. And I want to share these three questions with you today. How do I know that God is speaking, whispering to me to give me a word to speak to someone else? Here's number one. Does this pass the biblical test? If we want to use the word prophecy, we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It says, the one who prophesies does what? Speaks to people. In other words, what is the purpose of prophecy? What is the purpose of encouragement? To speak to others, to speak to people. And this involves our voice being used by God to speak to other people. Elijah, when he heard the whispers of God, the first thing God tells him, he says, to do is to go and tell three people. Let me introduce you to three people. Last week, we talked about the wise counsel. Last week, we looked at the idea that God places wise counsel in our life in those moments when we go to them. In other words, we find ourselves and about to make a decision, we go to them. Rehoboam, as he stood before the council, he took the counsel of the unwise, the young, the youthful. And of course, you teenagers did not respond the way I wanted you to respond last week. That's okay. Right? And what happened was, because he took the counsel of the young, foolish people he grew up with, Israel was divided in half instead of taking the wise counsel of his father's elders. But I ask this question, does it pass the biblical test? Is there going to be? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says that. It says, for the one who prophesies speaks to people. And it says this, for their upbuilding encouragement and consolation. In other words, for their strengthening, for their encouragement, and for their comfort. So let me just give you a warning right now. I do not believe that God's going to come whisper to you and tell you something that you should tell someone else that's negative. It doesn't pass a biblical test. I've had people come to me and say, you know what? The Lord told me that, you know, this bad thing is going to happen and there's nothing you can do about it. I don't believe that. I believe when God whispers to us, He whispers to us in a way that's going to be encouraging. It's what Corinthians says right here, to comfort and to strengthen, to lift up, the upbuilding, the lifting up of the body. So if I'm meeting someone, I recently ran across paths with someone, and as I'm talking to them, I'm asking these questions in my mind. What can I say to this person that's going to keep them going? It was, how can we strengthen them? The second thing I sort of ask myself is, what has God said to them that I can confirm? That's an encouragement. Let me tell you a story real quick, I believe, that sort of embodies this idea. When Life Church was birthed in the hearts at First Assembly, we begin to say, what are we going to do? What is this church going to look like? What's the idea? What is the vision? All these questions were swarming around in our minds and our hearts. We begin to ask them because we knew that God says, plant a church in Webster. That's what we knew. That was almost 2 years ago. Well, almost 3 years ago. This is what you're going to do. We begin to seek the Lord, to fast and pray. And Maria and I and then Pastor Jason Delgado, the family life pastor at First Assembly, took a trip out to Pittsburgh to be part of a seminar about church planting. In other words, what are some of the do's and don'ts about church planting? How do you do it? You know, what's the process? And while we're there, we're talking this thing through and we're praying and we're getting encouraged. And we're driving back. And all of a sudden, the Lord began to speak to us. He began to whisper to us a name. And that name was planted in our heart. And so we sort of put that name in our heart of someone who would be part to help. Not many weeks later, I'm in my office and I'm sort of praying, and this person walks into the office and says, Pastor Shannon, I need to talk to you. I just want to get some things, you know, straight between you and me that's happened in the last year. The Lord just told me to come and speak to you because there had been some things that were said between the two of us that needed some apologies. And he did what the Bible said to do, and he came to me and he spoke to me. And it was at that moment, as he's speaking to me and I'm listening, that God begins to whisper, now's the moment to ask the question. Now is the moment to ask the question. And when he got done and we prayed together and loved on each other, I says, I have a question for you. I said, this is what the Lord was whispering to me. Would you consider being part of the leadership and leading this ministry for this church plant? He says, you know what? So I was praying with my wife, and I think the Lord was telling us the same thing. Who would ever thought that you have an argument with somebody, right? You're there to confront each other. But guess what? You use the biblical process. There's a process in the Bible how we confront each other, right? And when you do it God's way, guess what? God gets the glory and great things come out of it. And now that young man and his family are serving here in this church in a great and a mighty way. If you want to try to figure it out, you can spend the next 30 minutes trying to figure it out. That's okay. Here's the third question that I sort of ask myself. What pain have they experienced that God wants to comfort? And through that process, through that conversation, we begin to see the pain that was there. God began to heal that because we were being obedient to the whispers of God. Is that encouraging to you? Is that encouraging this morning? There's another, let me tell you another real quick story this morning. Hey, Pastor, you got a sermon full of stories. Yeah, we started off with one. Let's just keep that on going, right? I believe sometimes God will whisper to us to tell us something to help someone find comfort. Before we planted Life Church, Pastor Brian Minnick, the senior pastor at First Assembly, took a 60-day sabbatical. And in that sabbatical, he says, Pastor Shannon, he said, I want you to oversee what's going on here at the church. Just oversee it and do the best you can. I was like, I don't know if I can handle this. This is a big task here. It's a big church. What? I don't know. He says, you can do it. Not too many weeks after that, we got a phone call to come to the hospital because one of our members had a 3-month-old baby that had SIDS and was in the hospital. They didn't expect this baby to live. You talk about a broken heart. So I go there saying, Lord, what do I say? What do you say in a moment like this? These are the moments when I don't like being a pastor, okay? Let me just be honest with you. Because sometimes I don't have the words to say. There is nothing in that moment when a mother and a father have just lost a 3-month-old baby. What can I say that's going to bring them comfort? Let me tell you what it is. Nothing. There is nothing I can pull from the deepest parts of my soul to say to them that bring them comfort. But there I was at that hospital with them, praying. All I knew to do was pray, read the Psalms and pray, read the Psalms and pray. And it's at that moment God whispered, He says, here's what I want you to say. And I began to share with them what God had put upon my heart. Many weeks later, I know the mother of that child, 3 o'clock in the morning, was calling my wife. Can you just pray with me? I mean, it went on for weeks and weeks. And at that moment, that word that God gave them through my obedience to listen to the whispers of God, she says, this is what is helping us get through is the word of God. Does it pass a biblical test? Does it strengthen? Does it encourage? Does it comfort? If it does, then you're listening to the whispers of God. Here's the second question I usually ask. Does this give me an opportunity to be generous? Oh, he's going to talk about money. No, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about generosity, right? So anytime, listen to this now. This is how I've learned to live. Anytime you are tempted to be generous, guess what? It's probably God. I think God was the only way he's going to tempt you is to tempt you to be generous. I'm not necessarily talking about money. I'm talking about time. I believe there are times when God begins to whisper to us to be generous with our time. I want to thank all of those who were here yesterday to help decorate. They gave of their time. Those who are going to be ministering to our kids through VBS, they're giving of their time. Does it pass the test of generosity? Am I being generous? If God is telling you or he is tempting you to be generous, it's from God. And let me tell you what to do. Do it. If it's financial, do it. If it's time, do it. If it's encouraging words, do it. Because if you're being tempted with generosity, it's probably God. Here's the third question. What am I about to do? Does this draw attention to me, or does this draw attention to Jesus? Again, we look at Elijah. When he heard the whispers of God, he pulled the cloak over his face. Humility. There are a lot of people who like to do extravagant things. They just don't like to be anonymous. So that's where you say, oh me, right? Yeah, amen if I agree. Oh me, that hurt me pretty bad right there, Pastor. That hurt. That's an oh me moment. Just because you're extravagant doesn't mean that you're going to get credit for it. I love people. Love you guys. But there's been many times when someone has come and says, oh, Lord's given me a word. And they share a word and they want to turn around and tell the whole church, yep, the Lord told me to say that. Yep. God told me to say that. That is none of you, right? We do not operate that right way, do we? We serve with humility, not pride. Does it pass the test? Are you willing to be both extravagant and anonymous? And this is the test. If you're willing to hear the voice of God and pass this test, you know you're hearing the whispers of God. If the Lord is going to trust you with whispers, you have to make up your mind, I'm willing to be extravagant, generous, and completely anonymous. When we give extravagantly and anonymously, this is what gets rid of our pride. And let me tell you, as a follower of Christ, that's something that we all deal with, is pride. And you can see how this works in this way in the fibers, right, of our life, is learning to walk in humility. Let me give you an example here. Jesus, he was teaching his disciples this very idea of generosity, of humility. And he takes his disciples to the temple, and they're there at the temple. And we know this story because all these folks came along and they're giving extravagantly to the temple. But they're giving in such a way that people can see what they're doing. You know what I'm talking about? The plates down here, right? And they're dropping their stuff in like this. Boop. And you can make all kind of loud noises and everybody can see what's going on. They were giving because they wanted credit for themselves. And Jesus, as he's looking at, begins to talk to his disciples. He says, notice the widow. He didn't say, notice those who are giving extravagantly to be seen. He didn't point them out. He didn't bring attention to them. What he did was brought attention to the widow. We know the story of the widow's mite, where she came and she gave humbly all that she had. And when Jesus looks at this and he points her out to his disciples, and says, this one has given more than all these put together, because she has given with a humble heart and she has given anonymously. This is a great lesson that the disciples begin to learn. So I'm inviting you on this journey of hearing the whispers of God. And when you hear the whispers of God, it's probably going to be more for the benefit of other people than yourself. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask Jonathan to come. I know it's short this morning. It is hot. Right? Next week we'll have a couple more air conditioners, so we'll stay a lot longer. But I do believe that God whispers to us. And it's for the purpose to encourage, to strengthen, and to comfort others. How many of you here are willing to listen to the whispers of God? How many of you are willing to be obedient to what He tells you to do? There's the two steps in our life, I believe, on this journey as a follower of Jesus Christ. I believe this will continue to change our life. To begin to pray, I just want to remind you of John chapter 10. The foundation of this series says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." This is what Jesus said. Let me ask you a question. Just, did Jesus know you? Do you know Him? I just want to pray this prayer this morning to bring this to a close. If you would just bow your heads with me this morning as we pray. Lord, Father, You're a good Father. Lord, Christ is my Lord. He's the Lord of my life. And because Christ is Lord, I'm a sheep. And He is my shepherd. And the shepherd is speaking and the sheep can hear Him. So Father in heaven, I pray that You give us ears to hear and a heart to believe and a mind to understand all that You are saying and all that You are doing. God, keep whispering to us. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't only recognize You in the earthquakes, the wind, and the fire, but would recognize the still, small voice as You begin to speak. I pray, God, that we'd pay attention to what You're saying all around us. I pray, Lord, that it would touch the lives of all the people that You've brought into our life and into our path. Lord, help to strengthen, help to encourage, and help to comfort them. Lord, let us hear. Lord, we just pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me hear You say it. Amen. I want to ask our pastoral care team to come. They're going to come now. If you're here today and you need prayer for anything, maybe the question I ask you is this: do you know Jesus? Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and say, well, I don't know Him. I've heard about Him. I hear about the words and the preaching and hear what other people say, but I don't know Jesus Christ personally. If you don't know Jesus Christ personally, do not leave today until you have an opportunity to pray with one of these families here. If you're dealing with an issue in life, if there's a struggle you have, if there's a sickness, if there's a mountain you feel that's too high to overcome, or it's a valley that's just too deep to cross, don't leave today until you have an opportunity to pray with someone. Or maybe you're saying, I just need to open up my ears and listen. I hear God in the epic, extravagant ways, but I need to listen to hear His whispers. If you need someone to pray with you, please don't leave until someone can pray with you today. Amen. Amen. So let me just pray over you and we'll be dismissed. Father, again, we thank You so much for the truth of Your Word. I pray, Lord, that we continue to listen and to hear Your voice, not only in the loud, epic ways, Lord, but also in the still, small voice. I pray for all who are here today, whatever they're going through, whatever struggles, Lord, let them know that You love them with all of Your heart. Let them know that there's nothing impossible for You. Let them know that the power of the Holy Spirit is still alive and well and working in our lives and in the world today. And I pray, God, that we'd come to know You. And I also pray, Lord, that at some point during the week, allow someone to come across our path where we can hear Your voice and speak encouragement, strength, and comfort. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Let me hear you say it. Amen. 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 Well, God bless.